I mean, things get sticky, maybe too emotional. You're welcome just to do so. We got very capable helping hearts to step in, maybe answer questions or pray for you or walk you through whatever comes up tonight. But tonight Adrian's going to be sharing, and it's the usual. We're going to spend the next 30, 40 minutes just unpacking what the Bible shows us, and then we're going to sit together as couples and just take it a little bit deeper. I want to thank you to all those who have stopped us in the shops, sent emails, SMSs, commented on Facebook. We really appreciate the encouragement and the support. But let's start with the word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what's represented in this room, Lord. It's not just two people. It's not just a couple. It's a family. It's a generation. And it's the generation that comes behind us, Father, our children and our grandkids. Lord, there's a lot at stake. And that is why we're here. Because we realize we are desperately in need of you. Yeah. The city needs you, we need you, and the generations to come need you. And we want to change whatever's gone before. Whatever our parents have modeled, or our grandparents, whatever issues they faced, whatever valleys they went through. Lord, we want to overcome that according to your will and your ways. And so tonight I pray, Father, that you would that you'd open our eyes, that you'd give us gentle hearts as we sit with our spouses, even the singles as they sit and chat, that you would transform us by the power of your word, Father. Come, there can be one sentence that literally, radically delivers us in a moment. And we ask for those moments. We ask for those God moments when heaven touches earth tonight. I pray that you'd anoint Adrian, that his words would be your words, wrapped in your ravishing love for us. And that you do open heart surgery and change our futures. Even tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see all of you again. Number 4 of 5. Almost there. So it's been an absolute blessing for us to have been a part of this, and it's been great to see you guys coming back every Wednesday night. And we're gonna start by going to Ephesians 5. Which has been our text. If you don't have your Bibles with you, I think it is in the manual. I'm going to read from verse 21 all the way through to verse 33. A great passage of Scripture. And then we're going to focus on the very last verse. That's the theme for tonight. So this is how it goes. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of this body, of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, understatement of the year. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So the last verse, I'm going to read it again. However, each one of you, speaking to the husbands, also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So, it's an interesting verse. And the more you look at it, the more interesting it becomes. And not only does it become more interesting, it becomes more challenging as you look at it. But I'm going to spend just a few minutes talking about that verse specifically and what I think God is saying. Because tonight we're talking about the pattern for marriage. So, just off the outset, I want to say what God has given us in that scripture as one of the sides to this frame that we keep referring to and saying, well, if you stay in this zone, you're in a good space. If you go on the outside of those boundaries that God gives us, then things go a bit pear-shaped. So this is just, let's just call it one of the sides, but it's key. And I think God has put it there for a very specific reason and with incredible intent. I don't think it's a scripture that gets a heck of a lot of airtime, certainly not from a preaching point of view, but we're gonna give it a good go tonight. But the first thing I want to say is it doesn't come in any way or form as a suggestion or an encouragement. If you read the verse, it says husbands must love their wives, and wives must respect their husbands. I mean, there's nothing kind of encouraging in that. That's like God's giving us an instruction. He's giving us a command. So I think it's an important thing to just get right before we even get into any of what that means for us and talking about handles and the practicalities. We got to understand that that's not something that God's suggesting to us. He's putting it to us. He's instructing us. Marriage works like this, and it works with a must love and a must respect. I'm not suggesting it. I'm not thinking it's a good idea. I'm telling you that that's how it will be and how it should be. And if you don't do it, then your marriage is going to suffer. It's going to take strain. The next thing that I see from it is it's quite specific. So it doesn't speak about, hey, it'll be good for you as a married couple to love and respect one another. Could have said it like that. But it's quite specific. Husbands love, wives respect. The next thing is that it's unconditional. Now, this is where it will get a little bit touchy. So what do I mean by unconditional? We all know unconditional love. We're quite happy with that one. So a wife will, a husband will love his wife unconditionally. So it's not that she deserves to be loved. It's not that she's doing anything that would draw his love. He needs to love her irrespective. And most of us would be saying, okay, that's cool, I can go with that. But when we start talking about unconditional respect, then it's like a, whoa, cowboy, hold on a second. Is respect not something that you earn? Which, I mean, it sounds fair and it sounds right, but it's not what God's saying here. He's not saying wives respect your husbands if they're deserving of respect. He's just saying wives respect your husbands. It's gone very quiet in here. The other thing is, it's not a matter of husbands love your wives because they respect you. It's husbands love your wives even if they don't respect you. And then the flip is also true. Wives respect your husbands even if they don't love you. That's a big call. But I promise you, every time I read the scripture, every time I look at that verse, I don't get anything other than that. If you want to read it differently and help me understand it better, then I'm open to your interpretation. But it's very clear. Husbands love your wives, comma. Wives respect your husbands, full stop. Is it clear? So God's very clear in what he's saying here. Yet, as much as they are unconditional, and it's kind of like these two independent instructions to a husband and a wife, they're still connected. It's still one sentence, and there's an and there. And I think the reason why God does that is because he realizes there's a connection of sorts. It's like there's a trigger that takes place. And he understands how these things work because he knows how we're wired. So he knows that if a husband would love his wife in the way that he describes it, the whole Ephesians 5, love your wife as Christ loves the church, well, then he's going to get nothing but respect back. So the one triggers the other back. And if a wife respects her husband would want to love her. So there's a connection in that there's the one triggers the other. And they feed off one another. The hassle with that, though, is that it triggers negatively and positively. So a lack of love translates to a lack of respect and vice versa. Just this one verse, that's all we're talking about. But that's a biblical pattern. So I think that's what God had in mind. If we're going on the same journey that we went on last week, where we spoke about what God had in mind, how that was corrupted, and how he's redeemed it. If we're talking about how what God had in mind as far as the framework for the pattern in which a husband and wife would relate to one another, it's one of love and respect. He doesn't say, in terms of God's meaning behind it, that it's only about the husband's loving wife and that it's not about husbands respecting wives. And it's also not a matter of that the wife would only respect her husband and not love her. I think it's fairly obvious that we can say love and respect is going to be true for both ways in terms of how the husband and wife would relate. What it's saying is there's a primary need that is found in the husband, and there's a primary need that is found in the wife. So it's kind of like if I had to be stranded somewhere, I'm in the desert, and I get given the option, what would you go with, water or food? I'd go with water, because I need food. Food is good for me in terms of nutrition and sustenance, but I know I can survive for longer with water. So as a husband, respect is the water. Love is the food. We need both, but there's a primary and there's a secondary. So I'm gonna go with respect because I'll live longer on respect than I will on love. And for the wife, the love is the water and the respect is the food. Her primary would be to say, I need love more than I need respect. So that is challenging. I mean, from the outset, as I've prepared for this, I've been challenged throughout. In some ways, I've been more nervous about tonight than any other night. I'm nervous every night, but tonight's like a, I don't know, there's just... I think God's very serious about this. And I think marriages are in trouble because people don't adhere to it. And I think that's why I feel like there's a weightiness attached to this. What doesn't help is that we're completely different. Men and women are so different. Just the fact that there's a primary need for respect and a primary need for love, it kind of preambles us into a conversation around the fact that women and men are very different. So women will have different filters to men. Pink filters versus blue filters. So in terms of what I receive and how I process it is very different to how Antoinette receives things and processes it. Because she's got a pink filter and I've got a blue one. Antoinette's also got a pink language and I've got a blue language. So when I say things and I mean what I think I mean, she might not fully understand what I'm saying. And the same is true for her pink language coming my way. You guys agree? We speak a different language. I mean, let's just be honest. It's pink and blue. So it's all about trying to decipher this code. You know, it's like there's messages going out. And the fact that it's challenging comes in the fact that God is actually asking us to do the very thing that doesn't come naturally. Because a woman is wired for love. That's what she knows. Watch her with her child. The nurturing, the loving, the respect is not like top of the list in terms of skill set. And that's true for men as far as love goes. Because there's something of honor and pride and these things that, I mean, pride in a good way, if I could say that there's a good pride. But there's this honor, and we're built for respect. It's like, I can respect that. I can respect people. But to love, I've got to work on that. I've got to think about things. I've got to, it takes energy. It takes time. It takes effort. It doesn't come naturally. And then on top of that, we're living in a world where sin is prevalent and we are imperfect and all these things that goes with that. We've got past experiences. So you might say to me, hey, you can give me all the textbook stuff, but you don't know how I grew up. My father. My mother. You don't know what I was exposed to. You don't know all the stuff that has molded and shaped the way I think and the way I feel about these things. And when I get a hint of that in my marriage, it's like this eruption. But you got to understand, that's my past. I get that. Then there's this whole thing of us being self-centered and the fact that to do what doesn't come naturally takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort. And if we're concerned about ourselves, then that's a big ask. It's a big challenge. And we're communicating in code. So you can have a wife that's complaining, criticizing, crying. The guy's like, what the hell must I do with this? Actually, all she's saying, I want you to love me. That's all I'm saying. She doesn't say it directly. She speaks in code because she's got the pink language. But we meant to just know about that. Husbands speak harshly, or they don't speak at all. They go quiet. But actually what they're saying is, I just want you to respect me. And the wives don't get it because they don't understand the blue language. It's just not something that they get. So when a husband hears criticism from his wife, it doesn't take long. It might even be in the exact same first conversation. That criticism he interprets through his blue filter as being contempt. Does your wife love you? Absolutely. Does she like you? I don't think so. We can laugh about it, but I think there's a lot of that. Where a husband can kind of say, they have no doubt about the fact that my wife loves me. I just don't think she admires me so much. Certainly not the way she did when we first got together. Like, she really digged me then. But no, she just loves me. Doesn't quite like me, though. So he interprets it as contempt, and then in terms of responding to that, in his mind, because he's hurt, because my wife doesn't like me, she doesn't respect me, she has contempt for me, I'm going to walk away from this. And it's not just for that reason. There's something of like an honorable thing to do, because if I stay here, this thing's going to escalate, so I'm actually going to walk away. Men, who can relate to that? Yeah, we'd rather walk away from those. At least one honest person in the room. How does a wife interpret that? He doesn't love me. How can he walk away? So she would interpret that as the most hostile thing that a man can do, or that her husband can do, is actually leave while we're in the... It's like, you're not even interested in trying to resolve this. See how this, like the trigger thing, it's like boom, 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 boom. But if it's in a negative, it's like poof, poof, poof. It gets crazy. And that thing accumulates and it gets worse and it gets worse. It's like wildfire. Eventually the woman's saying, hey, I've got grounds for divorce. Seriously, I mean, this guy, he does not love me. The way he treats me, that he's harsh with me, he's all these things, it's verbal abuse, it's all those kind of things. It's either that or complete silence. But the fact is, he does not love me anymore. That's grounds for divorce. Without realizing that she started the criticism. And then that whole cycle is lost as far as realizing where it all began, because now it's just this accumulated thing of lack of love, lack of respect, and this thing getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, this wildfire that we start. And during conflict, what's the one thing that men feel more than anything else? Disrespect. A survey was done. Guys were asked, What do you feel as far as what's happening through the conflict? One of two things. My wife doesn't respect me right now, or my wife doesn't love me right now. 82% said, my wife doesn't respect me right now. It's like, you're not concerned about the fact that she doesn't love you? Heck no. Respect's the issue right now. It's like we're in this tussle, and it's heavy conflict, and it's going wild. But the fact that she doesn't respect me is either going to bring out that green monster, you know, the guy that turns into Hulk, well, I'm going to walk away. And actually, I think the more honorable thing would be to walk away. Because if I stay, this thing's going to escalate and it's going to go bad. And her interpretation of that is, he doesn't love me. See, he doesn't love me. Look how he's walked away. What a hostile, unloving man. And the next time you come together, the smallest thing comes onto the surface. I mean, let's just be honest. When we argue about things, the issue we argue about is not the real issue. It never is. You know, if it was like love and respect wasn't part of this whole dynamic, we would just be having a conversation about something that requires a level of to and fro. And like, okay, now we've got to a point. We've decided we're gonna go have a beach holiday and not go to the bush. But when you bring love and respect into this, my opinion doesn't hold any water in her mind. She thinks she knows better than me. She doesn't respect me. Can you see how? Actually, that's the issue. The issue you argue about is not the issue. It's a little bit deeper than that. Love and respect. Or lack of love and lack of respect. That triggers one another and it goes pear-shaped very quickly. There's a massive value that men put to respect and there's a massive value that women put to love. We gotta know that. If I think of my beautiful wife, I think we've got a great marriage because I love being married to her. And I know that God has done an incredible work in her life and in my life. It's His grace that has brought us to a place where we can. I mean, it's not like it's flawless, but we've got a great relationship. We love one another. There's mutual respect. All those kind of things. If I had to, and I don't even know if it's right to make a comment like that, but if I had to say outside of God, I think the reason why we have a great marriage is because Antoinette's my biggest fan. More than anyone else in all of my years of being married, she's my biggest fan. It's like, I don't really know what I've done to deserve it, but there's something of her that just, she admires me. And I mean, you hear what I'm saying. It's not like I'm trying to be, even if it's just between the two of us, there's something that she has for me that gives me chocolates. It's like it allows me to just be and love her back. But in my mind, that's the reason why we've got a great marriage. She's my biggest fan. She's like been my cheerleader from day one. Always on the side of the field. Good with pom-poms and those kind of things. But you know what? Even in our marriage, and something that happened quite recently, this thing of respect for me, because it's like if you get respect, it's not like it becomes less important for you. It's always important. It's always a big value thing in your life. So a little bit of a kind of vulnerable moment. I hate DIY. I suck at it. I cannot do anything, really. I can change light bulbs, but even then, it's like, should it be this one or this one? I don't know. So it's one of those areas where over the course of our married life, I can have feelings of, gee, I don't know if she's going to respect me in my ability to do this. Because, you know, respect's kind of that, it's linked to levels of inadequacy and competency. And if I can't, then my wife's not going to respect me, you know. She thought she was marrying kind of one of these do-it-all kind of guys. But clearly, I'm not one of them. I'm just not. And it was only when we lived in the same house that it really came to the fore for her. And so a few weeks back, our dog chewed the hose pipe and our motor for the gate. So, it's kind of like the one wire coming out. It wasn't a big enough cable to kill him, unfortunately. But he survived that. He survived that, but the gate didn't, you know, so the gate wasn't working. So I was like, okay, I know what, I've got to fix this. I'm going to fix it. But let me start with the hose pipe. So, you know those little connectors for the hose pipe? I fixed the hose pipe. And then what I did, yeah, thank you. Actually, Kathy's also quite a fan. And then what I did was, because he's just going to chew it again, obviously, so I'm applying thought and all those kind of things. I got one of those, you know, the things that you kind of like wrap the, you can see by my lack of terminology, I'm not one of these guys, the thing that you wrap the hose pipe around. So I mounted it on the wall, but I mean, it involved drilling and all those kind of things and plugs and, what, that's big. And so I get it done and it's up and it's looking neat, it's straight. I purposely put it up high so that the dog couldn't get to it. And you know what the first thing I wanted to do before I even cleared the tools, there was this like thing in me, like I want to go and fetch Antoinette. I'm like, babe, you got to come and check this out. I was like Tom Hanks in Castaway. I have put that thing up. It was stupid. I promise you, if I took a photo of that and sent it to my dad, he would have said, why don't you send me some photos of light bulbs you've changed or something? This is ridiculous. It really wasn't difficult, but for me, it was massive. And she was the first person that I want to bring out and say, check it out. And as we're walking out, I'm like, oh, please don't say it's too high. Please don't say it's too high. She didn't. She said, that is marvelous. Well done, my babe. That is awesome. Thanks for sorting that out. And I was like, yes. Just an illustration. Respect is big. It's massive. The gate was a different story. I started trying to fix it. Whatever, wires and all these things. And I'm thinking, well, if I can like just take the casing off and then just do that, make sure it's the same colors, whatever, it should be fine. She was in the house looking through the window and with some level of concern. It's like, now I'm dealing with electricals. This could go seriously pear-shaped. And then my good mate Pete phoned, really good friend of mine who has become, you know, I've always said to my wife, if you've got the right tool, you can fix anything. Pete's become my tool. So he fixes everything of ours. He phones, but now my phone's in the house because, I mean, when you do DIY, you don't have your phone on you. Just heads up to those that, yeah. So the phone rings. She goes to the phone, checks the display. It's Pete. She comes running out. Babe, it's Pete. It's Pete. I'm like, tell him I'll phone him later. She's like, no. I think you must take it now. No, I'll phone him later. She answered. Pete, just hold on. Give it to me. Pete came and fixed the gate. Well, because I speak a blue language, I could potentially read that as she doesn't respect me. But after some careful thought, I realized in her pink world that that was her just wanting to protect me and love me and not kill myself. So respect is big. Here's what a study done with 400 men. They gave them one question. And this is it. If they were forced to choose one of the following, which would they prefer to endure? A, to be left alone and unloved in the world. B, to feel inadequate and disrespected by everyone. What do you think? 74% said B. I'd rather be left alone and unloved. Feeling inadequate and disrespected? Not for me. You know how big that is? For a human being to say, I'd rather be left alone and completely unloved. I'd rather endure that. I'd rather go through that than feel completely inadequate and disrespected by everyone. Respect is big. And if it's coming to you as a surprise, you know why? Because I don't know if us men even get it. I don't know if we even realize it. take some stories and illustrations, and then you might be thinking of your own life, and yeah, that can relate. But the more you think about it, and the more you realize, this is how I react to certain things. And when things go pear-shaped at work, there's a respect, there's an underlying lack of respect issue that just brings the worst in us if we don't have that respect. But it's a big thing for us. And I think what happens with like a relationship where you're married for a good couple of years, you have your period where you date, and then you get engaged, and you go from engagement to being married, and it's newlywed, and then from newlywed you're now married for a good couple of years. And that time frame very often gets represented by the level of admiration that flows from a wife to a husband, going from an all-time high in the dating period to a steady decline, and certainly from a husband's perspective, a very low after a good couple of years of marriage. And I think that's true. I think that happens. You think about the days when we first met, and you know, it's like you were open and expressive and like talking about stuff, but there was this thing of, my word, she really digs me. She's a fan. She admires me. There's something about me that she finds, it's more than a physical attraction. There's juices flowing here. There's stuff happening, and oh man, I feel pumped and I'm in this. And then like life starts and kids come and busyness, and you're now living together, so we're now seeing more of the flaws, and slowly but surely things get said and criticism starts kicking in, and that gets read all wrong, and I think the number one reason why men have affairs is because they get respect from another woman. It's not a lust issue. Now it's quiet. Think about it. I'm at work. I'm doing my thing. And the secretary of mine thinks I'm the bee's knees. Ah, man, this guy's incredible. The way he deals with staff and his leadership skills. And so I go home, and what I'm getting is nya, 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 nya. I go to work. Cheerleader time. This deep need of respect is being met somewhere else. It's not a lust issue. There's a part to play, obviously. But where it comes from, lack of respect. The wife, all she wants to be is loved. That's her wiring. That's her DNA. From a little girl dressing up like a princess, dreaming about her prince, being loved and cherished and treasured, and it's how God's made them. It doesn't come as a surprise to us. It's more of a surprise on the respect side, I think, in terms of like trying to understand this topic. But love is a massive thing for ladies. Respect is a massive thing for the guys. And we must understand that. Because it kind of lays a platform in terms of understanding, why did God say that this needs to be the pattern? Because I don't get it. I'm hoping you're getting it. I may be like 20% through my nose. Okay, chatted about the trigger factor, so let's leave that. Let me say on the trigger thing, that we went through a season of about a year. Actually, it was 2 months, but for me it felt like a year. Of Antoinette would come, no, I mean, listen, she's like a babe, you know, and she's got like strength in so many different areas, and she's capacity, and she's strong-willed. She's also stubborn. And she would come to me with certain things. Kind of like, I just want to get your take on it, you know, it's like your opinion would be great, yeah. And I suss the whole thing out, and I would say what I feel is right. This is what I think you should do. She would then walk away from that, process, mull it through, and then end up going with what she originally thought. Can anyone relate to that? Yeah? It flippin' drove me mad. It was like, so I had moments of getting angry and invariably then being harsh towards her and unloving towards her in my way. And then I had moments of just keeping quiet because I thought, man, if I've got to take another one of those hits, it's going to get ugly. So I'm actually just going to keep quiet. But then the keeping quiet would blow up at a later stage when it happened another time. And in my treating her in that unloving way, how did she feel? Unloved. Which made her kind of like, I don't know if I should actually even go and ask for your opinion because this thing is now getting out of control. And it actually took us sitting down and talking through, trying to like figure out this pink and blue language and what was it that actually was getting underneath me. And then in terms of how I'd handled the situation, what was like getting underneath her, and like the heart matters were actually, we had to put it on the table and talk it through and figure out like, why is this? Where's this thing going? And it was an incredible thing when we actually figured it out, because my wife is graciously now open to my opinion and takes it. We talk things through, but you know what I mean. It's kind of like, I'm not always going to have the right idea. But there's an openness to, and there's a respectfulness to kind of, now she's not just kind of getting an opinion from a mate who I'm going to just, like I'm bouncing off ideas here, but I'm still going to go with my own idea. She's now processing it in a very different way. And obviously what that does for me is very different to what the previous way of handling things did things to me. So that trigger is big. And then obviously this downward spiral just goes completely out of whack. So we've got this biblical pattern, we've got a distorted pattern as a result of all the things that I've mentioned, and we need to find order to that pattern. So we've got to bring order back, and we've got to say, God, would you help us understand how do we get to a place of having love and respect for one another in such a way that that is honoring of you, honoring of one another, and our marriage can actually fly as a result. I'm going to have to skip through a lot of things. It certainly requires a lot of humility. It requires a lot of forgiveness. It requires us to actually conquer those fears, have those conversations. Just like I mentioned now with, it's like, yes, it's hard. Like you don't want to deal with those things, you know. But we have to. We have to trust that God gives us the humility to kind of say, actually, I need to just talk to you and tell you. I felt incredibly disrespected by that thing or what you said there. It's like almost an admission of you got the better of me, or you know. So as a husband, that's hard. But we really need to say, Lord, would you help us? And for wives to say, Lord, help me. Even though I don't know if this is going to go down well, he might respond badly, he might get more angry than he was before. But we're going to have to find the strength to have those conversations. We've got to find the order. We've got to, that order in this pattern has got to be found. There's government that's required. You know, in the Bible, when there's a lack of government, there's a lack of peace. You've got to ask the question, does our home and our relationship, our marriage relationship, is it characterized by peace or not? And if the answer is no, it's not, there's a lack of government there. So we've got to bring order back into that. We've got to say, God, would you help us? We see your word says that. We want to live our lives in such a way that we can actually live by that. And we're not going to allow self and our past and all the imperfections that goes with it and our feelings of vulnerability and insecurity to rule us. Because if you're going to go with that, it's only going to get worse. That felt fire just keeps going. Someone's got to bring it in check. And we don't bring it in check by us being all wise, we bring it in check by saying, God, would you help us? This is what your word says, and we want to understand it. So I think in terms of the some of the handles, I'm not going to be able to spend all the time on it. But I've basically listed in that manual, I think it's on page 22, just a simple acronym just to help us when it comes to talking it through, that we can actually try and understand how do we communicate about these things in such a way that it can make sense for us and we can find the pattern that God has for us. So there are some questions. It's not in the manual, but I've actually had it just printed separately. So that's on all the stations as well. So we've got some questions in the book for you to go through, but these things you can also go through in addition to. So you don't have to get through all of it tonight, but very helpful, some big questions. And you can do an assessment as a husband of how am I answering these questions in terms of the way my wife wants to be loved and how she receives love. And then for the wife to say, am I respecting my husband by actually going through these questions? And then I would say, have the conversation together. And I say, hey, this was my assessment of, what do you think? Would you agree with whether I said yes or no, or however you want to answer it with scoring or whatever? But take that. So there's different ways that women want to be loved. There's different ways that men want to be respected. The first one that you'll see on that page 22 is closeness. Your wife wants you to be close. There's something of a face-to-face that a wife wants. She wants a touch. She wants a look. She wants, you know, that one flesh when you get married. It's like, hey, that's how we got married. Like, so why is there's this distance? But it's not a geographic thing. It's not like I want to be close. It's like I want to be close with you. It's like, can we have this? Your wife needs that. I'm speaking to the husbands now. Okay. There's something of personal space, but that's, you work that out in maturity, and there's a need for you to say, I want to be close to my wife. She wants to know that that's your desire. If she knows that my husband wants to be close to me, she interprets that as love. If she's doubtful, then she interprets it as, I'm not loved. Can I just also say, in terms of the intimacy thing, we could quite easily lose the plot as men. Where our busyness of the day and that closeness, it doesn't exist at all. Until we get to bedtime. And then I want to be close. Let me just rub on the arm and check whether... Is it Wednesday night or... I promise you, your wife doesn't receive that in a loving way. Because now all of a sudden, your level of affection and your closeness is for your benefit, not hers. So men, exercise affection towards your wife without the outcome of sex being in your mind. She reinterprets that as love. But if you're always going to do it as a means to an end, it's not going to be seen as love. Your wife wants you to be close. Okay. Openness, she wants to talk, even though you might not want to. Ultimately, she just wants to keep the relationship up to date. It's like she just wants to know we're good. There's nothing between us, nothing wrong. Like for men, the blue language is, hey, listen, if there's something wrong, I'll tell you. For ladies, the pink language is, no, I want to talk about it so that I can know. Without us even going to the subject, I just want to know that we're on that. That's how it works. Am I right? Yeah? Understanding. Ricky, won't you play that clip, bud? She wants you to listen. Don't try to fix her.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me. And I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's going to stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me most, is that I don't know if it's ever going to stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen.
See, I don't... think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're
out.
Not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... sometimes it's like... there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
That sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Come on, if you would just...
don't!
Try to see things my way. Do I have to keep on talking?
I think that's a helpful tip for us guys. Just listen and then say, that must be really hard. That's it. We are wired to want to fix things, but that's not what they're looking for. So they want understanding. They want peacemaking. She wants you to say, I'm sorry. Let me tell you something I have learned over our years of marriage. There's one way to end things. But like, immediately. Just to say, I'm sorry. Not as a formula, I'm talking genuine, authentic, I am sorry. Women melt with that, so I'm not saying it just fixes everything, but in the heat of an argument, and there's this other thing of, you might feel that there's aspects to what you are covering and whatever the issue is that's not really the issue, as we've covered, that you are right and she's wrong. But the only way you find a level of peace and what she's looking for you to do, because it's like your commitment to the relationship, it's your showing that you love her, is that you're pursuing peace. So to ask for forgiveness, to say you're sorry, all those kind of things, and then wrapped up with that, to actually confess your part of where you're to blame. If there's anything that will change the atmosphere of a tense argument, conflict environment, it's that. And your wife wants that from you as husbands. Loyalty, she wants you to know you're going to be there right till the end. That's the covenantal language that we spoke of on the first night. But you know that you can demonstrate that in word, and you can demonstrate that in action, and you need to, because she wants to see it. There's something of a need to know that you are with her for the rest of your lives. Us men don't have a massive reputation in that regard. Huh? There was a story I was reading about it. Robertson McQuillan, he wrote a book, A Promise Kept, about his wife that became ill, and so ill that he stopped his job. He was president of some other tertiary college. He went home to look after her right up until her dying day. And when he was at the hospital, and there was like this mysterious thing about it, people were like, wow, how's this guy? And he met an oncologist who shed some light on the subject for him as to why this was such a big thing. He didn't think it was a big thing. You know what the oncologist said? Now, this is someone who sees people die, the spouses die, and then the other spouse, how the journey flows. He said this: almost all women stand by their man. Very few men stand by their woman. So those things are like in the back of your lady's mind. It's like, I want to know that he's with me till the end. And we as men, as husbands, have an opportunity to not just say, yeah, well, we got married on that day. We've got the marriage certificate. If you need to look at it, do it. It's like what I said, that still stands. That's not what she's looking for. She's looking for like he's with me. There's a loyalty, there's a commitment. And then the last thing is esteem. So she wants to know that you have her on your mind, first and foremost, first importance. Where does your wife fit in your priority list? Not as far as you're concerned, as far as she's concerned. But she wants to be first and foremost. So esteem her, treasure her. You don't get that by spending money on her necessarily. It's kind of what goes with the money, I guess. But I can tell you now, you could go out and you can buy your wife an SUV, a Mercedes-Benz, whatever. Or you can take her for a walk. Talk to her while you walk about how much you love her. You can stop somewhere along the route and pick up a stone. Come home and write a message on that stone and give it to her and say, just want to tell you how much I love you and have that you've got something just to remember today. That car will frot eventually, but when she gets to 90, there'll be something on that mantelpiece that she'll keep. But it's something of like your time and your energy and your thought. What do you do for anniversaries and birthdays and those kind of things? She wants to be esteemed by you. So she spells love in that way. Couple, that's the acronym. Those are the things. And you've got some good questions to answer as husbands. On the guy's side, the acronym is CHAIRS. It stands for this, conquest. As a husband, he wants a woman to believe in him. So as men, we want to go out and we want to work. We have a desire to achieve. And there's something of our wives coming behind us and supporting us in that. I think a big question is, how much do I know about my husband's work? Have I even been to his work? Do I support him in this? Am I rooting for him? Am I cheerleading as he leaves every day? And you know, this thing of respect, it's not like it's hard to find stuff. You can thank your husband for waking up every morning and going to work and providing and protecting and giving us what we need. You can find the little things if you're struggling with the big things. But there's something of men that goes and wants to achieve and has this desire to grow. And as women, we just want you to come behind us and support us in that. And not be like, oh, I handle all the stuff at the home and you go there, and when you come back, then we'll kind of talk. But as far as what you do, as long as you bring the money home, that's not very respectful for us as men. This thing of hierarchy, he wants to protect and provide. I'm not going to spend too much time because we really have run out. Authority, he wants to serve and he wants to lead. And it's about ladies giving your husbands an opportunity to do that. I mean, we spoke about the whole headship and submission last week, but allowing the space for that. This thing of insight, I mean, I used the example of Antoinette and I, but men have insight. Women have intuition, but men have insight. And I think sometimes women can think that their intuition actually supersedes the opinions of them, of their husbands. And there's almost a level of self-righteousness that kicks in. You've got to step back sometimes and give your husband an opportunity to give insight into something and to allow him to analyze and counsel and say, this is where I think we should be heading, or this is what I think we should be doing, or this is how I think we should handle this. Allow him that. Don't feel like you know better. You might think you do, but God has gifted husbands to play that role in their marriages. So give him that space. He wants relationship. I found this quite interesting in terms of the difference between the pink and the blue. Men just want time with their wives, shoulder to shoulder. Remember what we spoke about with the ladies? They want face to face. It's just we wire differently. So they want closeness. They want connect time. We're talking. Men, we just happy for you to be in the room. And you know what? We have value in it. We'd much rather have you sitting next to us watching whatever than you being upstairs. Think about it. I know my wife's not a big fan of rugby. I mean, she'll watch, but I very often watch rugby on my own, or I watch with the boys. But there's something in me is like I want her to actually be with me now. But we're not going to talk, just shoulder to shoulder. It's like that's how we wired. Is it true? We want to be with our wives. We just don't want to talk. Why don't we almost be talk? We want a friend. It's like we married you for friendship and companionship. So we just want to, it's like we hang. That's what we do. A wife is saying, hold on a second. If we're not talking, then that's just a waste of time. We've got so little time as it is. Let's make use of it. The guy's saying, no. For me, good time spent is actually just like, it's just shoulder to shoulder. That's all we're looking for. So find something in your husband that interests him and that he likes to do, and come alongside him and just be shoulder to shoulder. Just hang. It's all good. Which often leads to face to face. And then it's genuine face to face. But if it's like, wife is, no, I want face to face, this is our time, we're going to talk. And it's like, under obligation, all right, let's do it. Are we done? Can we now hang shoulder to shoulder? But if you give that shoulder to shoulder and it's like, hey, I've got my friend with me, we're just hanging. It's just the time that we have together. Watch what happens. Face to face starts to happen without the ladies even asking for it. In terms of sexuality, men want it. that's quite basic. But let me just say this. You know what I've found? That the devil is, he is so eager to get two people to have sex before they're married. And then he is so eager to get a married couple in a place where they're not having sex. It's like the flip happens. As soon as marriage is in, his strategy changes. So now I'm going to find ways to actually deprive them of sex. Before marriage, it's like, that's where I'm going. I'm going to try and get them to. It is his strategy. We've sat with enough couples to know that's his strategy. So he'll get in there. We must know it. And I think in terms of what the scripture was that we read last week, I think it was, in terms of, the yielding as women, there's something of that. Not forced, but there are just times where you're going to say, that is a need of my husband's. It's something that I will be showing respect to him. And don't do it as a duty, because that's also... Do it with heart. Do it with, I understand that this is a need, and I'm actually going to be in it. I'm not just going to be there because now I must just... There's also something, I mean, I said it last week, for men to initiate. But there's times where us, like, where wives need to also... For a man, you need to also know, like, she wants me as much as I want her. It's important. Because if it's always coming from me, and it always seems like she's just out of duty, that respect, and respect in the bed, disrespect in the bed becomes a massive issue. And that's the devil's tactics, because he doesn't want married couples to have sex. It's like part of the glue that keeps us together, so he wants... Okay, so as wives, don't withhold, don't yield to your husband. Okay, I need to finish. I think as far as the pattern and an ordered pattern, we can also get into a space where we kind of think, all right, well, now I've got all these principles. I know I need to respect my husband. So now let me respect my husband in order for him to love me back, because I've heard that he's going to trigger that. It's going to be a little bit self-centered, so it's still not quite in the clear. So our motive is quite key. But you know what the key to all of this is? Our motive needs to be other-centered as a primary. So I'm doing it for your benefit. But above that, the thing that comes above that is it needs to be Christ-centered. So our relationship with Jesus is paramount in our ability to love our wives and for wives to respect their husbands in terms of submitting to one another in that way. So that passage of scripture that I read, we submit out of reverence to Christ, to one another. But it's reverence to Christ to kind of say, okay, well, I know that God actually knows way better than I what is necessary for this marriage to work. He has made it very plain in terms of what the husband must do. He's made it very plain in terms of what the wife must do. And actually, when it comes to things of eternity, This is actually not about my spouse. This is about my relationship with Christ. And that's the thing that starts tapping into, I think, our heartstrings. When we start realizing that we can actually view this as, well, let me find something in my husband to respect him, or let me find something in my wife to love her, and oh, let me just go through the motions because now it's a must, and I've been told that I need to, and well, there are some benefits to doing it because it's going to trigger a positive response from her. It's actually not what it's about. See, we need to start putting faith in Jesus so that we can have faith for one another. We don't have faith in one another. So it's not like I'm trying to see, when are you going to respond to me right? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? Because then I'm putting faith in your ability to love me, or I'm putting faith in your ability to respect me, and I'm going to gauge as to how I'm going to continue with this based on what you do. Actually, it's not that. We need to have faith for one another. We can put faith in him so that he works in me and he works in my wife. And as a result, we grow together in this pattern that he's designed. But we got to bring it to his feet and we say, Lord, we want to submit it to you. I need forgiveness in my heart. I need humility in my heart. I need you in my heart. Because ultimately, when we get to a point of looking at this way beyond this world, it's actually about our relationship with Jesus. The second night we spoke about the fact that God grows us through this relationship of friendship. It's about our holiness, not about our happiness. So my growing in Christ-likeness and my growing in my submission to his way is actually what it's about. So this is a matter of obedience, and it's a matter of trust in God. It's not about whether my husband deserves respect or whether my wife deserves love or any of those things. It's a matter of obedience. And we have an opportunity to take God's word and say, Lord, you said husbands must love their wives. Wives must love their husbands, not as a rule, but as a pattern that you know brings the fullness of a marriage to a place where we experience happiness. But it's on the far side of you actually turning us into more and more of who you are. So we submit it to you. We say, Lord, would you actually reside over this marriage, because we want to follow your pattern, not the pattern of the world. Even if it sounds like it's all wrong, it's the foolishness of the world that's always going to come at us. But actually, we're talking about the wisdom of God here, and we're saying, God, you know better than any of us. You've given us the manual. You've given us what we need to do. Help us in our inabilities and our imperfections and all the things that we struggle with to come to a place where we can submit this to you and follow your pattern. Because we want to follow your pattern to an extent where our marriage sings, it's a dance, it flows, but ultimately our relationship with you grows and we become more like you through it. Because that's actually what it's about. What we have on this world is minuscule in terms of eternity. Understand that God gives us marriage as a test, as a tool to demonstrate the deep love that we can have for him, and to show our reverence to him, to say, you know better than me, and I'm going to submit myself to your leading and your guiding. And for that matter, I will love my wife out of obedience to you more than anything else. And as wives, you can say, I will respect my husband, even if he's not deserving of respect, but I understand your pattern, and I'm submitting myself to you in such a way that I want to be obedient to you. And I want your pattern to reside over our marriage, because that's the only way it's going to work. Anything short of that is going to be a mess. Amen.
Can we extend our gratitude to AD? Thanks, bud. A substantial deposit tonight. But one of the things that I noticed, because I'm sitting over there, I'm just watching out of the corner of my eye, when you're talking about things and it's raised, this is possibly the key, the premier reason behind men having affairs is because they don't have respect in the home. It was interesting to see almost the body language. It's just this bristling. And then the ladies, because they're not being loved at home, and the same thing. And it was almost, there was two different body languages. Some were drawing closer to others. Others were kind of stiffening up. I don't know about you, but I kind of found myself suddenly realizing, that's why on Tuesday. That now I know why. And last Thursday, and you know when you said to your mom, and you, that, yeah, you know, so maybe I'm the only one here, but from all the sheepish grins, I can tell I'm not the only one. But I say those two things because when we go into couples time now, could I ask you, please, to put emotion aside? Would you fight for this? Now's the time to look in the eyes and fight for this. This is what I prayed at the beginning of the session. God, give us an understanding so that we know what weapons to use when we fight this fight. It's not these loose, emotive, expletive, you know, passion words, but it's in that moment, babes, this is how you can respect me. Just watch when you say that. It just unplugs. Or in this moment, babes, this is how you can love me. Or this is how my heart is crying out. And this is why I say, if only you could be like, you know, or you're just like your mom. What I'm actually saying is respect or love. And could I ask you again, please pray together. It's the most important thing you can do. Please pray together. So we're going to release you. If I could say one last thing, just as a matter of observation, do you realize if this is so important, you know how important that time is going to be, right? Now, maybe you haven't used and abused your babysitters yet. Your pastor says tonight you're allowed to use and abuse your babysitter. If it means that you need to spend an extra hour here in a safe place on the back of fresh revelation amidst chairs that have been prayed over and interceded for, do it. Because otherwise you're going to go home and then the dog's going to keep you awake at night and then the little one's going to be sick in the morning and before you know it, this moment is gone. And you're going to be scratching 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, you know, an emotive response on a Saturday morning. Whereas tonight, in a fresh and safe and healthy place, you can pack away a generation's worth of damage and walk out here free. So can I encourage you to do that? All right. You're free to go.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you. Remember I'll always be true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day and I'll send all my loving to you. I'll pretend the lips I am missing, and I hope that your dreams will come true. And they'll